Good morning, everyone. The lesson I have today is really kind of a continuation of what was said last week about Ecclesiastes. I know that came from some comments that were brought up earlier. You know, when I was young and a teenager, I knew everything. And I'm sure that's kind of a common problem, but I really had come to the conviction that life was meaningless as a teenager. I looked at life, I looked at the fact that we were going to die, that everything we did, no matter how much joy there was one day, something would always come along and ruin it the next day. There'd be nothing was permanent. Everything was temporary. And I was absolutely convicted. I would argue with just about anybody that life was meaningless. It frustrated a lot of people. And of course, I was very, I think my argument was a very strong argument, except for one tiny little part of that argument, that I believed that there was no God. And my argument was based on the fact that there's no God, there is no meaning to life. And I think that is true. But when there is a God, there is incredible meaning to life. And I want to look at especially Ecclesiastes 12. You know, if I had, I thought many, many times after reading Ecclesiastes, I love to read it, but I thought if somebody had only shown me this when I was younger, and I could have really just taken in the thoughts of Ecclesiastes, it would have really helped me a lot to realize I maybe needed to rethink this idea that there is no meaning, because the Bible is very clearly pointing us to God. And yes, there is no meaning if all we do is put all our hope and trust in this world. And I don't believe Ecclesiastes was written by an atheist, somebody who didn't think about God. It was somebody who believed in God, but they were still looking to this life to find meaning. They were looking to this life to find their purpose and their joy and their peace and their success. And when we do that, we are doomed to frustration and failure, because that's the nature of this life. It's temporary and it's not within our control. And in Ecclesiastes 12, I want to focus there today, because I had heard some comments by somebody, at least 3 or 4 years ago, a much older man, and it really struck me. And Ecclesiastes 12 is a wonderful imagery of the problems of growing old. And really, while we only have a short life, we need to make the most of our life before we start getting older and it gets harder. We don't have as much energy. We don't have the abilities we had. Our mind starts slipping. We need to use our time wisely while we have that energy. So this lesson is not just for the people that are older and maybe in their last years. It's for everybody, that we maybe have more wisdom, and maybe the young people will have more wisdom than I had as a teenager, and understand if you do believe in God, that there is purpose in this life, but it's not in this life. It's not in this temporary life. This life can point us to the blessings of God. The joys of this life can point us to the potential blessings of eternity. But this is not what we're living for. And if we try to live for this, it will disappoint us. We see the writer of Ecclesiastes, whether it's Solomon or not, comes to the final point of saying, you know, I realize how meaningless it was, to the point of everything that I worked for, everything that I sought, everything that I loved, I hated. I came to hate these very things. And that's what happens to us if we put our trust in this life and the things of this life. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, I put my trust in God, but that's our natural tendency, is to keep on putting our hope and our trust and our focus on things of this world. And so we need to keep on reminding ourselves, and I think that's Ecclesiastes is perfect for that, to remind ourselves this is not where our hope lies. So in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. He talks about a time when life gets hard. If we're blessed enough to grow old, life gets hard. That doesn't mean that there's no meaning, doesn't mean there's no opportunity, but it does get harder. And he's saying, so remember God in your youth. A very important point. And then the next verses are just, to me, a beautiful description of allegory of, or idioms of, what it means to grow old. And I'm just going to read them. I'm going to go and just highlight a few of them. Before the sun, the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. This is describing getting old. And the language, it is a debate about maybe some of these phrases and what exactly they were referring to. But I'm just going to point out a few of them. And again, maybe you have a different way of saying, well, I think this means something a little different. But it's still pointing to the same thing, the difficulties of growing old, the reality of growing old. When it says the watchmen of the house tremble, well, your arms and your hands are the ones that protect you. And the watchmen, you as you grow older, your arms get weaker, your strength, your vitality is lessened as you get older. Mighty men stoop. Well, again, what happens? Our backs get weaker, our legs get weaker, we start stooping a little more. Maybe we were, 6 foot 1 or 5 foot 11, and then over time you start kind of getting compressed a little bit and you lose a few inches as you grow older. That's just a natural part of aging. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few. Well, that sounds like your teeth, and you start, you lose some of your teeth, and even then it says they stand idle. You no longer have as big of an appetite. That was something that shocked me as I get older. I mean, when I was younger, I could eat anything I wanted, anytime I wanted. It never affected me. And now as I get older, two things are very weird. One is, if I eat, I notice that I can actually gain weight, which has never happened in my life. And two, I'm just not as hungry. I just don't want to eat as much as when I was younger, which is a very strange thing. But that happens as you get older. And, just as you're getting older and you can enjoy these things more, maybe you have more money as you get older because, you're done raising your children. You come to realize, well, I can't eat as much because I'll gain weight. Then also your sense of smell and your taste, it starts going a little bit. You start losing some of that in your life. And so these things, you start recognizing these changes are occurring. Now, when you're young, the idea of getting old and dying is pretty much an impossible thought in your mind. It's not going to happen to you. But it's a reality of life. If we grow older, if we have the blessing to grow older, we will start feeling the effects of entropy, I guess is the best way to say it, the polite way to say it. We will start breaking down. Also, the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. Now, that's a very strange idea, and there's different ways of thinking about that, but the doors on the street are shut and the sound of the grinding mill is low. It's a business, and it's no longer working. What could that be talking about? Well, as we grow older, we become less connected with the world. We become less active, less productive. So that could be tying in with that. It could be tying in with the grinding mill. Could be talking about your teeth again. There's different ways people... But we understand that as we grow older, things change. And there's less productivity in our lives in many ways. And then one will arise to the sound of the bird. Well, of course, when people get older, it's harder to sleep deeply through the night. You wake up at any little thing oftentimes. And all the daughters of song will sing softly. Maybe that's talking about your hearing. Or it could be the kind of the siren call of, if you're a man and you're interested in women, as you get older, that kind of gets diminished and that allure is not there anymore. And then when it talks about the caperberry is ineffective, that talks about that's idea to be, it thought that the caperberry would give you more of an appetite in many ways. And so therefore, that doesn't ever have an effect on you. And also it talks about the almond tree blossoming. Well, that's the white hair. Your hair, the almonds are, the blossoms are white, so that's your hair turning gray or white. The grasshopper drags himself along. When you're young, you can, you spring and step. And a lot of times I jump up here, but each time I do that, I start noticing a little more that it's not
as easy. When you're young, you just do that, and you get older, and you say, wow, that's not, maybe I'm not going to be doing that so much anymore. And that's just a part of life. You start recognizing that you're headed in a different direction. I'm in my house, and there's a porch, and there's a drop like this. Well, you know, when you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 30, you just to jump off of that and just jump down and go to the car is nothing. And now when you're over 50, you know, you look at that and you say, well, I better be careful how I step down, because if I just step down the wrong way, I could get hurt. And you could. So you start noticing these things. It's just a part of life. And again, this, I love this passage. For a man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. And then you die, and then people just go on with life. And that is true. For the most part, life goes on. It's as if you would never hear. But that's what life is. And it's not meant to be, so therefore it's all meaningless. It's to put it in the proper perspective. And that's what we need to understand. In Psalm 39, one of my favorite psalms, these verses 4 to 6, Psalm 39, 4 to 6. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. That needs to be our understanding of how life is short. My life is just a vapor. I come and I go into this world. It stops me from having too much pride. It stops me from having too much concern for these things in the world. They're just temporary. Even owning property, it's only temporary. That even that property that's yours is temporary. It's going to get passed on. It's going to get taken by somebody else. It's temporary. Everything we like to think of as being long-term, it's still very, very short-term, especially for us. So the last verse in chapter 39, verse 7, and now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in thee. See, there's where my hope needs to be. If it's not in him, and that's what I think the writer of Ecclesiastes was saying, is he was putting his hope in things of this life, and it was disappointing him. So when we understand the shortness of life, we put our hope in God. We put our hope in his promises. When we have a day of joy and great blessings and things that really say, you know, life is good, what that tells us is not, this is what I'm here for. It points me to the greater good, the greater blessings, the greater joys that are eternal that I can have with God. And when I'm suffering and going through problems, it reminds me this is not my home. That there's a better life. There's a future hope for me, and I want that. Now, the lesson is really about this section, but it really is something somebody said, which I thought was very, very important. And I think maybe Daryl heard me say this. I'm not sure at a prison, but he was talking about not these physical changes that happen, but the realities of growing older, especially when we have not been what we ought to be as God's people. And this is especially for people who are Christians and maybe have gone through their life knowing that maybe they haven't put as much focus on spiritual things as they should have. And I think that's true for all of us to some extent. And he was warning as a much older man who's now has very little time left. And even then, we don't know. Somebody who's 85 or 90 might think that they have not much time left, and they could have another 10, 15 years. And it's amazing what you can do in 10, 15 years, isn't it? If you really wanted to. And so what this is about is looking at Ecclesiastes 12 again, but kind of focusing on some of the spiritual considerations of what happens in our lives as we grow older. Because I think this is really important that we stop and think about it. Do I want this in those future years? That a lot of people, as they grow older, they now have to live with shame. Shame of things they've done in the past. Shame of remembering the foolishness and the selfishness. I can think of a lot of men that look at their early years, their adult years, 20 to 50, and they devoted themselves to their work. They devoted themselves maybe to their hobbies. And they look back on those years and all the wasted time. All the they look at shame and they think about the time they wasted. We don't want to have to feel that way. Now, maybe it's already too late for some people to say, I can't change the past. None of us can change the past, but we can work for today, and we can change tomorrow so that we can lessen that shame and that regret that comes from not having served God faithfully, from squandering our blessings, knowing there were things that we had that we just didn't care about and didn't appreciate, lost opportunities in our lives where we could have done things that were a whole lot more important, and yet we just squandered that. And the wasted time. And we all waste time. And I mean, at least I do. There's going to be times where we do things and say, you know, I didn't need to do that. That was just a waste of time. But if we understand how important it is to serve God, no one will say, I wish I hadn't served God so much. No one's going to ever say that. I was just too zealous for serving God. It wasn't important enough in my life. I should have been making more money. I should have been more successful in my business. But whatever it is, no, nobody's going to be thinking that. And if they are, they're deluded. But once you die and you have to face God, you're not going to be thinking about it. You're not going to say, I wish I had done more. I wish I had cared more for souls around me. As we're younger, we are developing habits. And we develop habits all throughout our lifetime. And really what we do is we kind of just, I think of the rut in the road, we just keep on digging that rut deeper and deeper as we get older. Now, maybe as we get older, we start saying, you know, this is a bad habit. I got to get rid of it. And as you get older and you're trying to change a habit you've been living with for 50 years, that's a hard thing to change. That's a very hard thing. Change them when you're young, when they're still not that embedded into your whole mind. And sometimes people say, well, you know, as I get older, I'm not as patient. Well, that's a reality of life. As you get older, it's harder. You know, when people, loud noises, it bothers you more. I never understood that as a child. You know, I was like, what are these old people complaining about? We're just running around having a good time. And they don't understand that noise will bother people a little bit more when they're older. And there's things that are going to affect us more as we get older. And if we haven't developed patience when we're younger, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get harder as we get older. The time is when we're young to deal with these things, to develop good habits. The time when we're young to... And we can say, you know, an example, when I was in high school, I would just sit there and pay attention in class, never take a note. Well, actually, I did take a few notes occasionally. I can't say, hardly ever did my homework, but I'd pay attention. I'd listen, and I'd get good grades. And I said, well, when I get to college, then I'll do all the studying, because I don't know, I have to, and I'll take all the notes, and I'll do all the homework. But guess what? I developed a habit of just listening and not doing the work. And then what happens when you get to college? It's not like you can just slip into the new mode of, okay, now I'm ready to do all the homework. No, it took a lot of really hard work to change those bad habits. And that was only from a couple of years. But when you develop over decades bad habits, it becomes very, very hard to change them. And a lot of these things are destructive to ourselves, to our families, and to God's work that needs to be done. As we get older, we might look around at the people that I failed. I failed to help them spiritually. I failed to guide them properly. And we don't want to get to that point. And if we're at that point, we still have today. We still have tomorrow. We can look back and, yes, there are regrets and frustrations over what we failed to do, but we can still act today and tomorrow and the next day. We might look at our lives and say, how much further along should I be in my walk? I've been a Christian now for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Don't we ever stop and say, wait a minute, shouldn't I be stronger? Shouldn't I be more committed? Shouldn't I know scriptures better? Shouldn't I have a better, clearer understanding of who I need to be and how I live my life? Yes. And so we look back and we say, I should be stronger by now. But see, if we're not thinking about that when we're 20 and 30 and 40 and working on it, we won't be stronger when we get to that point. All we'll have are those regrets, that recognition that I'm not where I should be. Also, we might say, I don't want to put a number on this, that's dangerous. I'm older. I'm much older now. What else can I do? My life is pretty much over. A lot of people might say that. I'm pretty much at the end of my life. What can I do? That's a lie. Because while you have a day, you have opportunity. You can do things today. And as we're older, we have more experience, more wisdom, more maturity. And even if I am slower, even if I don't have as much energy, even if I have to take a nap in the afternoon, and that's starting to, maybe Dal doesn't know about this, right? But I'm starting to feel it. Sometimes I just feel like I never had to take a nap anytime. Now I'm starting to think maybe I'm slowing down. But as I get older, I understand I can do things better, wiser. I have experience. I might have to do it more slowly, but there's still much that I can do. And just being older gives you a little bit more credibility with people, too. Because a lot of people say, well, you're only 20. What do you know? Or you're only 30. What do you know? But when you're 50 or 60 or 70, there's some credibility that comes with that, that you can maybe advise people in a way that younger people can't do that. So you have an opportunity to be there to advise younger people, to give them counsel, wise counsel, because you've been through a lot, and there's opportunity there. So to say, well, I'm old now, and what can I do? I've already kind of let a lot of my life pass. No, you have today, you have tomorrow, you might have 10 years, you might have, doesn't matter how much, you have today. Use today to serve God. Also, disillusionment. As you get older, you look around at life and you know you're young, you're idealistic, and you say, I'm going to change the world and I'm going to do this. And you realize that the world is kind of an ugly place sometimes. And you look at, and you think, I'm going to change people's ideas and I'm going to share with them the truth. And they're just going to say thank you and they're going to change their lives. And you think, as you start experiencing life, you start saying, people aren't really that quick to change. Most people don't want to change. Most people don't care about changing. And it gets very discouraging and frustrating. But you know, the Bible tells us that that will be the case. And the Bible also tells us there are those few that will change. And so we're working to change those few, to work with the people that have some desire for something better. They're seeking God. We can help them. We can encourage them. And no matter how old we are, we can encourage younger people. And sometimes as we get older, we think maybe we're irrelevant to the younger people. But how can older people, and maybe I thought the same thing when I was younger too, but how can older people be irrelevant when they have all the experiences? They have experience of not just life, experiences of everything that goes on in life. They have experiences that we never had because we're still too young. And we're not old enough to even know we're dumb. We're not old enough to know we're ignorant. We're too young. But older people can give us perspective on a lot of subjects. When the world is telling us things, politics and history, and it sounds like, oh, this has never happened before, and the older people can tell you, well, it's happened here, it's happened here, it's happened here. Of course it's happened before, but there's a lot of things we just don't understand. That because we're young, and that's okay. But older people can give us incredible perspective. And we should not feel like we're useless if we're older. We should be able to say, I can help younger people. And to share that perspective. And I believe that's why the Bible talks about honoring the aged, and yet the world tends to dishonor the aged. And say, well, if you're old, then you're useless. Or if you're old, then you just move aside and let us rule the world. Is basically the way it's put now. Regarding retirement. I have several lessons on this, but I just want to throw this in here too. Because a lot of people, they get older and say, well, I'm just retired now. So where in the Bible exactly do we see the idea of retirement? I would say that what my rest is with God in heaven. Now, I understand as I get older, I'm going to slow down. I'm probably going to maybe even end a secular job at some point if I'm working in the secular world. My work is preaching the gospel. I don't see myself stopping that. I mean, I see myself dying. I see myself slowing down, maybe doing that. But I don't see myself saying, okay, now's my period of retirement. Now, the world says that because the world has what? The world has this life in mind. And this life, you work, and then you work for something. You work for this period, which is retirement. My retirement plan is a whole lot better than anything that any of the Fortune 500 companies can provide or anything. My retirement plan is eternity with God. And that's where my focus is. And so as we get older, and there are groups out there, I've seen this, where people retire and their thought is, now I go and do evangelism, or I go do something I couldn't do when I was working. I've got more time on my hands. Now, again, maybe you're going to slow down, you're not going to be able to do as much, but it's an opportunity to serve God in ways you couldn't serve before, with experiences and wisdom and maturity that you didn't have before. It's an opportunity to do a lot of good for God. It's not me time. There's nothing in the Bible. The time for me time was before I became a Christian. That was my me time. And even then, it wasn't my time. I was stealing it from God. But when I became a Christian, it became His time. And it became His time for how long? For the rest of my life. So there's nothing wrong with stopping a job and even maybe doing some things you've wanted to do for the rest, you know, that you've denied for a lot of your life. But then you say, but now how do I devote that time that I have left to God? Otherwise, we'll feel the same thing. I'm just wasting my time. I'm doing all these things that bring me temporary pleasure. And if we have any sense, we'll say, well, wait a minute, what is it really doing? It's all meaningless. It gives me temporary pleasure, but what is it really doing in the big picture? So we need to consider that as well. As we get older, in our lives, we spend a lot of time building up memories. We want to make memories. And that's what the pictures are for. We want to have all the pictures so we can preserve these moments in time. So we make memories throughout our life. You know what happens when you get older? Not for everybody, but for a lot of people, those memories start fading. Maybe even disappearing completely. We worked all our life to build up these memories, and they go. And by the way, after we go, people's memories of what we did and where we went are going to fade too. So that these things are very temporary. But yet we want to hold on to these things. Now, this lesson is not meant to be very depressing. That's not the point of it. Because, if we had no God and this is what we were living for, it would be a very depressing lesson. But we have Christ. We have hope. We have the promises of God. We are Christians. If I was talking to a room full of worldly people, you should be very depressed. Because life is heading for some really depressing time. What did verse 1 say? Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. That sounds pretty depressing. But that's the reality. You're heading, and even worse than heading for that is not heading for that. Means you die young. So as we're growing older, we need to understand that we should be doing things today and tomorrow, each day we have life, so that we will have fewer regrets as we get older. Because we're going to have regrets. That's just being human beings and having failings and our own flesh. And our own pride and selfishness. We're going to have regrets, but the more we listen to God, the more we will be able to do things that have meaning and purpose in this life. And so, even though it is very depressing on one level, we know the truth now. And that's what I tell guys in prison. I said, even if you lost everything in your life, if you lost your family, you lost your business, all your money that you had accumulated for 10, 20 years or whatever, people lose a lot. I said, if you gain Christ, what have you gained? What have you gained? You've gained everything. And you really lost nothing, temporary stuff. You gain Christ, you start with that, you already have everything. And then again, you still work, you still serve. The Ecclesiastes talks about that, but you put a different perspective on it. It doesn't become your focus in life. It doesn't become your hope in life, your purpose in life. It's just a part of living a life and being responsible and providing for your needs and the needs of your family, but putting your trust and your hope in God. And that's what we need to do. We need to have our life fixed on God. The beginning of Ecclesiastes talks about vanity of vanities. And the end of Ecclesiastes also talks about the same thing. In I'm going to read verse 6 first and then verse 7. He says, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. We might say something like buying the farm or kicking the bucket. The Spanish say hanging the socks. But there's different ways of saying when you die. Okay? Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanities. You see how he's kind of focused on this idea that it's all vanity? He's not talking about life with God where we put God in the proper perspective. He's talking about that person who has put his hope and his trust in his life, even while believing in God. It's vanity. And it leads to just frustration and a life that you feel is just not worth living and a life that has been wasted. And he's encouraging them to remember God before that time. And then we see down in verse 12, but beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. There is a day of judgment coming, and we're going to have to give an account for what we've done in this life. And we need to go and we need to live in this world, and we need to work, and we need to provide, and we need to develop relationships, and all the things that we do on a daily basis in this world, we're expected to do. But we always remember that we're going to have to meet our Maker one day. We're going to have to face Him. And we want to know that He will be pleased with us. And He tells us how to please Him. Deny yourself. Stop following your own will and the world's will. And follow my will. Do my will. My will is what is good and right for you and for others. So, a godly life will not be depressed by getting old. I look at my life and say, I'm a day closer to being with God. I'm a day more mature, at least I should be getting mature, more mature in my faith, where I can maybe have a better influence on people. I'm a day closer to not having to deal with all the problems of this world. You know, when you're young, you think everything's going to be great, and then you start realizing, no, life is pretty tough. Life can be very difficult. I'm one day less of having to deal with some of the frustrations of this world. And that's, we shouldn't get depressed at being older. And again, the alternative is not very good to not getting older. So we get older and we live our lives, but we live them for God and we will not have regrets. A godly life will be focused on eternity, and we understand it's not about this life under the sun. It is not, that is not our focus. And yet so many people, what do? They get caught up and they say, yes, it's about God, but then they get caught up on their physical life. And then they wonder why their life is not as fulfilling as they thought it would be. So just in a couple of final comments. A godly life will provide a positive influence for other people. If we're serving God, we will be a positive influence on the people around us. And so now the question really for each of you, not just the older people, but for the younger people, what kind of life will you have? How will you finish out your life, whether it's 20 years or 70 years? How will you finish out your life? And by the way, if you're 20, there's no guarantee you'll make it even to 30. How will you finish out your life? And if there's anyone here this morning who has not made that commitment to Christ, today is always the right day to understand that if you're living for the world, you're headed for heartache and you're headed for a life of meaninglessness. The only meaning we can have in life is to serve God and to have the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. And so today is the day to repent and be baptized and start that life with Christ and have meaning and to avoid those future regrets that we have as we grow older without God in our lives. Thank you very much for your attention.